I'm so glad you're here tonight. And as you can tell on the sermon listening guide, we only have 17 chapters to cover in Deuteronomy. So it's going to be a cakewalk, nothing to it. 17 chapters. We're going to look at chapters 10 through chapter 26. So if you'll turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 10 and just have your place marked. On your sermon listening guide, you're going to notice two divisions and then four subpoints under the first division and then six subpoints under the second division. You divide that by 30 minutes. That means about 3 minutes per point. So we've got to move quickly. So stay with me as we dive into God's Word. It seems like yesterday, but I remember when Hurricane Katrina came through New Orleans and through Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I was pastoring in Baton Rouge. And when Katrina came through New Orleans, in less than 3 days, the city of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, doubled in population. It was an unbelievable experience as those evacuees were seeking refuge. And I remember we transformed our Family Life Center into a feeding area. And literally, buses would come onto our parking lot and unload evacuees who were still wet after wading in water for hours and hours and hours. Unbelievable sight. We began to host the North American Mission Board as they came to mobilize people through our church. And then Clico Power Company, they took up residence in our second floor so that the power companies could restore power to Louisiana. And so it became a hub of ministry activity. But they would not allow us to host people overnight. They allowed other churches to embrace evacuees to live on their property. And what was so unique about Hurricane Katrina is that it really united the churches and pastors who at one time wouldn't collaborate in ministry, who really wouldn't do life or ministry together at any level because of denominational lines. God allowed Katrina to erase those lines. And so pastors were coming together and united and building bridges to broken people and to extend the ministry of Jesus Christ. And I remember going to one church that had transformed their Family Life Center into basically a city of refuge so that evacuees could live there, take up residence there, sleep there, and receive nourishment there. In that particular church that I went to, I remember touring it and just so broken for the people, but also just overwhelmed by the chaos. It was loud, it was chaotic, and there was so much tension in that amazing Family Life Center, but you could just sense the tension, and the chaos was rampant. We went from that location to another church a little bit further north, and once we got there, we went into their large fellowship hall that they had converted into a city of refuge so the evacuees could have a place to sleep and to receive nourishment. And it was a totally different environment. More people and more peace. No chaos. There was such a sweet spirit, and there was so much order and clarity and so much compassion flowing throughout the room. And as the pastor walked me through that environment, and he would call people by name, and he would stop and love on people, and he would include me in that environment. And I remember asking him, well, what sets this environment apart? Because it's so much different than the other one we're coming from. And here's what he said. He said, we established this room with order. And I looked down on the floors, and every family had the same exact amount of square feet allocated to their family. And everybody had a little area outlined with blue tape on the floor. Everybody had a new cot, other things that they would need for their environment. But you had your space. And whenever it was time to go eat, they went in order. And everything was so orderly. And you could just see the peace of God radiating that environment. And I said, well, it's so amazing that you set the infrastructure up like this because I can see how ministry is so much more effective and so much more efficient. And the peace of God is here. He said, well, we had to go a step further than just the blue tape. I had to speak to them and bring clarity and bring vision to this environment. And I told them, this is now New Orleans North. And I'm the mayor. And he used two words that I'll never forget. reverence and respect. Reverence and respect. To live in this environment, there are two non-negotiables: to revere God and to respect one another. That means to respect one another personally, and it also means to respect one another's property. Respect and reverence. That is so in alignment with what I see in Deuteronomy. When you think about Moses, and Moses articulating vision and leadership and clarity to the children of Israel. Now, what we understand here in Deuteronomy is a generation has died off. Remember, they have wandered in the wilderness how long? 40 long years. I'm 45. That's a long time. 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And here we come to this book called Deuteronomy. And Pastor David has given us two installments. And Pastor Jared last week gave us a third installment. And here tonight, I'm going to cover chapters 10 through 26. The concept I want you to think about with me here tonight is the concept of reverence and respect. When we look at God's word tonight, what you're going to come to understand is that God is giving boundaries that bless. Boundaries that bless. Another way to say it, guidelines for godliness. Boundaries that bless. Guidelines for godliness. The book is called Deuteronomy. In Greek, deuteros means second, and nomos means law. It is the second law. But it doesn't mean another law. It simply means a second reading of, a second presentation of the law. And when we say the law, we're speaking of the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. Now, normally when you think of the Ten Commandments, you think of Exodus chapter 20. But here we find them in Deuteronomy chapter 5. So the way I've packaged this message tonight, what you discover when you study chapters 10 through 26, you start with chapter 5 and you reread the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. What you'll notice is that the Ten Commandments are listed in chapter 5, and I have them in your listening guide. But then Moses explains them, and he demonstrates action steps to them in chapters 10 through 26. Now, why is there a need for a second reading of the Decalogue? Why is there a need for such an expansive application of the Decalogue? Well, it's because a generation had died off. And now this new generation's coming forth. This new generation needs a fresh word from heaven. And God's going to give it through Moses. So we're picking up now with the first concept of guidelines. Now, I want you to think about the cross of Jesus Christ, because we want to make a New Testament connection. So the cross has a vertical beam and a horizontal beam. The vertical beam representing our relationship with God, and the horizontal beam representing our relationships with other people. And what we come to understand is that you cannot have a right relationship with God if you don't have a right relationship with people. And you can't have a right relationship with people if you don't have a right relationship with God. When we look at this law, the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, what we notice is the first four commandments deal with that vertical relationship, our relationship with God. The second six commandments deal with our horizontal relationships, how we interact with people. So let's look at this together. Notice the guidelines for reflecting God's character in worship. Guidelines for reflecting God's character in worship. I'm going to give us 10 action steps in alignment with the 10 commandments. And then I'm going to show you how Moses expands on those to this new generation. Remember, the only two who have come out of the previous generation are Joshua and Caleb, two of the 12 spies who, instead of talked about the giants in the land, talked about God. And they lived to see the rest of the story. Here's number one. Put God first. Doesn't God deserve first place in our lives? God is passionate about our loyalty. God is passionate about being number one in his life. Put God first. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 7, you shall have no other gods before me. Now, what is Moses doing with the law? Moses is preparing this generation for the promised land. They're still on this side of the Jordan. Moses will eventually die. God raises up Joshua. Joshua leads them to cross the Jordan River into the land flowing with milk and honey. Boy, I knew I had a sweet tooth for a reason. So Moses is preparing them for entrance into the promised land. Now, what does that look like as he explains that in the Shema, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. It's fascinating. Love is not mentioned in the first four books of the Old Testament. In the first four books of the Torah, the Pentateuch, love is not mentioned. But here in Deuteronomy, it is mentioned so many times. I mean, multiple times. In fact, when you read Deuteronomy, it's saturated with the word love. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your might. Here's my question. Did Jesus ever quote that verse? You better believe he did. The greatest commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's our vertical beam and a horizontal beam in the commandments. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? This is so powerful. But to fear the Lord your God. Now, to fear means not to run from God, but to revere God, to esteem God. To fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him. There's our word, to love him. And to serve the Lord your God. And the word serve can also, in Hebrew, be the word worship. Worship the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I'm commanding you today for your good. Now, wait a minute. Do we have boundaries in order to torture people and to keep them from experiencing joy? Or are boundaries meant to bless? Boundaries are to protect. If you've ever driven on a mountainside, one of those sharp turns, I mean up in the upper elevation of the mountain, and you go around that corner, aren't you thankful for that guardrail? Have you ever been driving and just gotten off the road just a little bit and just touched the shoulder and it scared you? Especially when it has a little groove thing, it goes brrrr, and you get back over real fast. Can you imagine just missing the road a little bit on one of those mountains without a guardrail? You know what you would be? Toast. Toast. Thankfully, there are guardrails. And here Moses is articulating, Moses is reminding them of the guardrails that God has provided for their good. Number two, eliminate idolatry. As we go into the promised land, you're going to have opportunity to sin. You're going to encounter many cultures that will educate you on sin. So before we go in, let's go ahead and establish these guardrails for godliness, these boundaries that bless, and let's make a decision. We're going to eliminate idolatry. Deuteronomy 5:8. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And we notice in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, these are the statutes and rules that you shall be careful to do in the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you to possess all the days that you live on the earth. You shall surely, notice, you're going to take action. When you get into the promised land, you shall surely destroy all the places where the nations whom you shall dispossess served their gods, on the high mountains and on the hills and under every green tree. You shall tear down their altars and dash in pieces their pillars and burn their asherim with fire. You shall chop down the carved images of their gods and destroy their name out of that place. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. I remember in sixth grade, whenever it was announced to my brother and I by my mother that my dad had been sentenced to 10 years in prison. I'll never forget the moment that news was brought to us, how devastated we were, how embarrassed we were to go to school knowing our dad was in prison. The shame. And what led him to prison was becoming an alcoholic and 5 consecutive DWIs. But here's what's so painful about this. I wrote a paper on this my junior year in high school. Though he had a problem with alcohol addiction, he was sentenced to prison in Angola. Hardcore prison. And in prison, he was educated on crime. So when he finally got released from prison, no one trusted him. He couldn't get a job. And he went with what he learned in that environment, and he went back into prison the second time for theft and forgery. Now, why would I paint this picture for you? Now my dad's walking with God. Now he's going to finish strong. One day I'll be able to stand before those who come to his funeral and say, my dad is right with God. He's finishing strong. That's the good news. But here's what we learned from that experience. My dad was exposed to things that instead of him influencing the environment influenced him. And what Moses is saying to the children of Israel, this new generation, is when you go into this land flowing with milk and honey, you've got to watch out because the different cultures have different practices when it comes to worship. And if you're not careful, instead of going and removing the idols, you will be influenced by the idolatry. And oh, how that relates to where we are in our day and time. I wish I had more time to preach, but I have 10 points. We got to move. This is not fair. Number 3, reverence God's name. Deuteronomy 5:11. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Paul expounds on that. Moses expounds on that. I love Paul. But Moses expounds on that in Deuteronomy 11, 26 through 28. See, I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse. Now, don't miss this. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today. And the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way that I'm commanding you today to go after other gods that you have not known. Pastor David spoke on this Tuesday morning at our men's prayer breakfast, and he'll unpack that next Wednesday night when he continues our study in Deuteronomy. But there are two options here. Obey or disobey. If you choose to obey, God rewards the obedience. He blesses the obedience. If you choose to disobey, it brings forth curse and punishment and chastisement. And then you see Deuteronomy 12, 29 through 31. We don't have time to read that, but just check that out in your daily quiet time. Now let's look at number 4. Recharge and refocus. Recharge and refocus. Deuteronomy 5, 12. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. Now in 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about in our work series on Sunday morning, when not to work. And we're going to be talking about the Sabbath, practicing the Sabbath, when to disconnect, when to disengage, when to shut down, when to get away and be disconnected from other things so that you can reconnect with God and allow God to put you back together. So we'll unpack that on a Sunday in 3 weeks. Recharge and refocus. You'll notice Deuteronomy 12, 8 through 11, you can look at that on your own. Now let's look at the horizontal relationships. You ready? Guidelines for reflecting God's character in relationships. Now we're talking about how we interact with other people. Our conversation, our conduct, and our impact on the lives of other people, our interaction with them. Guidelines for reflecting God's character in relationships. Number 5, you ready for it? Say amen. Amen. Respect your parents. Does that need to be preached? Grandparents, does that need to be preached? Respect your parents. Deuteronomy 5:16, honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may go well with you. The only commandment with a promise in the Decalogue. In the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Respect your parents. I almost don't want to read what I'm about to read. I'm apprehensive about it. But it's God's word, and I believe in preaching the whole counsel of God. For some of you, it's going to set you free. You're going to say, we may want to reinstate this. I think this may work. Deuteronomy chapter 21. Here's what you find. When you look at the crime rate in our culture, and when you study it on a personal level, here's what you'll come away with. There's a lack of respect for authority. That's the bottom line. You can trace that theme through every crime ever committed. A lack of respect for authority. Now, where is respect for authority taught? Where should it be taught? In the home. Deuteronomy 21:18. I told you I'm apprehensive about this, but I'm going to read God's word. If a man has a stubborn and a rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, will not listen to them. Now, this is Moses teaching this generation what to anticipate. Then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gate of the place where he lives. And they shall say to the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey your voice. He's a glutton and a drunkard. Will not obey our voice. Then all the men of the city shall put him in time out. Is that what your translation says? The men of the city shall stone him. And we're not talking about take him to Colorado. We're not talking about that. Some of you will get that later tonight. Anytime I'm introduced, my name is Stephen, but sometimes they'll respond, well, hey, Steve, and we have to bring clarity to it. It's not Steve, it's Stephen, or it's not Fred, it's Stephen. You know, it's Stephen, just like Stephen in the Bible, but I've never been stoned. And they go, what do you mean by that? Verse 21, then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. Why? Why go to extreme measures? So you shall purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear. It preserves purity throughout the nation. Because there's fear that if I disobey mom and dad, there are major consequences. In fact, fatal consequences. I've got so many stories I could tell about my upbringing. And not so much at home, though my mama knew how to sling a belt. And she'd wait till you just got out of the shower. But I remember at school, we had principals. It was really the vice principal who always had the biggest paddle you've ever seen. And we feared it. Some of the strongest boys in school would cry like babies on the way to the office. We better move on. Number six, value life. Value life. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You feel it, don't you? You're hurting right now sitting where you're sitting. Number six, value life. Deuteronomy 5:17. You shall not murder. You shall not murder. Deuteronomy 6:18-20. And this is, of course, a portrait of our judicial system. You shall appoint judges and officers in all your towns that the Lord your God has given you according to your tribes, and they shall judge the people with righteous judgment. You shall not pervert justice. You shall not show partiality. You shall not accept a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and subverts the cause of the righteous. Justice and only justice you shall follow, that you may live and inherit the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Value life. If you want to know the value of a life, all you have to do is you just revisit the cross, because that's where God established your value. And every person you come in contact with, even difficult people that you have a hard time interacting with, don't ever forget their value was established 2,000 years ago by what Jesus did for them on the cross. Value life. Number 7, finish together. Deuteronomy 5:18, finish together. And you shall not commit adultery. Deuteronomy 22:22, if a man is found lying with the wife of another man, both of them shall die. The man who lay with a woman and the woman. Why? Why take such drastic measures, Moses? So you shall purge the evil from Israel. Remember how Jesus took the commandments and he changed the price tags in the display window? Where a man would say, oh, I've never been physical with another woman. I've never committed adultery. Jesus said, if you even look at a woman lustfully, you have committed adultery with her in your heart. Let's move on to number 8. Delete deception. Delete deception. Deuteronomy 5:19, and you shall not steal. You shall not steal. And it's not only you should not take something physically that does not belong to you, that's stealing, but whenever you don't work and fulfill your obligation time-wise, when you do not give your all while you're at work and you spend the day on Facebook, and we have so many studies we may unveil when we preach on this in the work series. Unbelievable how many hours in the workplace are spent on Facebook and Twitter instead of on task. Do not steal. Delete deception. Deuteronomy 24:10-15. When you make your neighbor a loan of any sort, you shall not go into his house to collect his pledge. Now, this is talking about being a blessing to your neighbor. You shall stand outside, and the man to whom you make the loan shall bring the pledge out to you. And if he is a poor man, you shall not sleep in his pledge. Now, it's speaking of the cloak, his garment that he wears for protection and warmth, and he sleeps in. But he's going to give it to you as a pledge, saying, I give you my cloak, the thing closest to me, the thing I'm most dependent on. I'm going to give it to you as a pledge that I will fulfill my commitment to you. Verse 13, you shall restore to him the pledge as the sun sets, that he may sleep in his cloak and bless you. And it shall be righteousness for you before the Lord your God. Verse 14, you shall not oppress a hired worker who is poor and needy, whether he is one of your brothers or one of the sojourners who are in your land within your towns. You shall give him his wages on the same day. Why? Because he's desperate for it. Before the sun sets, for he is poor and counts on it, lest he cry against you to the Lord and you be guilty of sin. In other words, Moses is saying, as we cross the Jordan, as we go into the land flowing with milk and honey, as you go, what you have to realize is that you have to bring compassion with you. That if you are self-absorbed and self-centered and it's all about what you can get, what you can acquire, it's all about what is going to minister to you, make you feel better and be a blessing to you, and you become all about you, you're missing the economy of God. Because God is all about others, serving others, blessing others through you and through me. Delete deception. Number 9, tell the truth. Tell the truth. Deuteronomy 5:20. And you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Tell the truth. And truth is not only saying it accurately, but you know, sometimes you'll be around people who don't give you the whole truth. They'll just give you partial truth. I remember teaching men's ministry one morning years ago, and this young man came up to me, and he was so distraught because it was early in the morning. It was a great experience. We called our men's ministry Mafia, Men of Vision in Action, kind of like mafia, ba 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 ba. It was a man thing. Mafia, Men of Vision in Action. And he came that morning. He was so distraught because he had purchased a used car. But when he was coming to the church that morning for the men's breakfast and our teaching time, he was at the red light and his car kept stalling. And he just would try to crank it. He'd run a little bit and stall. And he's like, I just bought the car. And it was used, but it was new to him. And he talked to the owner. And I said, oh, yeah, we've had no issues with it, no problems with it. But it kept stalling. Here it's pitch black, has his lights on, the dash light. And he just is so frustrated that he spent all this money and the car is not what was promised. And when he got to the parking lot, he finally turned the dome light on, and he was looking to see on the dashboard, and he got near the speedometer where the warning lights come on, and the check engine light had been covered up with electrical tape. The check engine light was on, and he didn't know it. You see, the person he bought the car from was not telling the truth. So sometimes, to tell the truth, it's simply not withholding valuable information. Well, there's so much we could say about that. Well, that's touchy, isn't it? I think we need to move to number 10. Practice contentment. Deuteronomy 5:21. Practice contentment. And you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. And you shall not desire your neighbor's house, his field, or his male servant, or his female servant, his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. Another way to say this is don't desire to acquire what belongs to someone else. Practice contentment. Paul really unveils that beautifully, doesn't he, in Philippians? Where he says, I've learned the secret of being content. I know what it is to be in the palace. I know what it is to be in prison. And I've learned the secret of being content in any situation. Whether well-fed, papados, papacitas, gringos, or hungry. I have learned the secret of being content. And then Philippians 4:13 answers it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:19 continues it. For my God shall supply all my needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Practice contentment. If you were to come to our home, on the side of our refrigerator is a yellow sticky note that says 90%. My daughter Tori was home from LSU a few weeks ago, and we had one of those late night father-daughter connect times in the kitchen. I was in there for a snack, and she was still up, so we had a connect time, and we just began to talk back and forth and just talked about life and just things that she was combating and dealing with in life and that most of us combat, and I remember saying to her, you know, Tori, what happens is often we get so fixated on the 10% that we don't have, we miss the blessing of the 90% we do have. She said, Dad, that's good. That's good, and got a sticky note and wrote it down. And I gave her two other good phrases, and she took two different colors and wrote them down. But if you came to our home, a yellow sticky note that says 90%. In fact, it's on my phone, on my main screen. I have the clock on right now. But on my main screen, it always shows 90%. It's a constant reminder to me to practice contentment. Focus on the 90%. If you get so wrapped up in the 10% you're not or you don't have, you'll miss the blessing of the 90% you are and you do have. Amen? Well, let's close with Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 16 through 19. This is so good. I want you to stand for the reading of God's word right here. 26:16, we're going to close on this note. This passage really got a hold of my heart. This day, the Lord your God commands you to do these statutes and rules. You shall therefore be careful to do them with all your heart. No casual Christianity, and with all your soul. You have declared today that the Lord is your God, and that you will walk in his ways, and keep his statutes and his commandments and his rules, and will obey his voice. And the Lord has declared that you are a people for his treasured possession. And my begin to play. We need some music for this text. This is a great text. Come on up. And the Lord has declared today that you are a people for his treasured possession, as he has promised you, and that you are to keep all his commandments, and that he will set you in praise and in fame and in honor high above all nations that he has made, and that you shall be a people holy to the Lord your God, as he promised.
We hope that you've enjoyed the message today and that it will be a source of encouragement to you this week. At Champion Forest Baptist Church, we desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. And that's because with Christ, we have hope and true satisfaction. The Bible clearly states that all men have offended God by worshiping things he created instead of him. We have chosen to reject his authority in our life and look for satisfaction in things he created instead of him, which is ultimately pointless given that he is truly the only thing that can satisfy us completely. He is the perfection of everything we seek. The problem is, though, that once we have sinned against him by turning to these other things, a gap is created between us, not allowing us to access him anymore to find this satisfaction. God's character demands that our rebellion be accounted for before he forgives us. And this is the beauty of the message of Jesus. Christ is perfect in every way. He never rebelled against God, and he took upon our punishment on himself so that we could be reconciled to God and be fully satisfied in him, gaining eternal life. We need Jesus because without him, we are without hope, both in this life and for eternity. Turn to Christ alone for forgiveness and find satisfaction fully in our great God. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and we hope to see you soon.